than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. How's it going? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Play Music, sometimes YouTube, not this week though. Here we go. We are a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Plenty of stuff going on off the field, on the field, all over the place. Josh, joining me as always, you got your Ravens shirt on, man. You're ready.
Oh, yeah, man. You see that? Yeah, yeah. Always.
Is that one of the yard sale shirts?
Yes, actually, it is.
Do you have a name? Is there a name on the back or anything? Is it a coach's shirt?
My name's on the back.
Oh.
I don't know. Believe it or not. I mean, I love it. It's added to my work collection. I wear my Ravens polos to work all the time.
Yeah, well, at this point, you got to be wearing purple every day. We're right in the midst of preseason.
Even Purple Friday, brother.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about Game 2 in Indianapolis. I didn't get to see a lot of it because I had a busy weekend working, long 14-hour days. Got to watch the end of the game. But big thing that we were talking about last week, you were talking about the safeties. I was talking about the running game. Have either of those situations improved with Game 2?
Yeah, man. It is, but it wasn't. There was a lot of ups and downs in this game. Overall, it was a win. Harbaugh always says it's good to win. Preseason, we really doesn't count. As we know, I mean, we can lose by 50 and still perform well, believe it or not. You know, because you look at individual performances, you look at team, you look at nuances. But as a whole, I was impressed with, how the Ravens, showed resilience, how the game went. The running game still strong, man. It's still up in the air. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with three roster spots because we have four solid, stable backs here, man. So that's my take on it, man. What did you see? What you've seen as far as going from week one to week two, what are your thoughts on? Do you think we're going to have that four spot open? I'm telling you right now, I think they're going to keep that open for the kick returner position.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I didn't get to see a lot of the running game, even though, I mean, everyone's talking about how well Terrence West is doing. That's a name I hear a lot about. I was happy to see Kamar Aiken on the field. We didn't get to see him week one. We saw him week
two.
He was able to make a touchdown. I was impressed with that.
I was very excited to see him. Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's a great guy that I really hope the Ravens get to use a lot more of this year. He definitely showed what he can do on the field when a lot of other people go down. He's a solid guy to have on the field. I think we had questions about the safeties and the running game. I think this game answered not any of those questions, but put even more questions out on us. The backup position for Joe Flacco is very much up in the air with these two guys. Both guys had pretty impressive games against Indianapolis, but there's no clear-cut winner on who's going to back up Joe Flacco right now.
There isn't, man. Actually, there wasn't until week one. I like Josh Johnson, believe it or not, man. I think he's solidifying the number two position. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but Brian Mallett and him, there's really no comparison because Josh Johnson made the plays. He's made the throws. That rope throw he threw to Jeremy Butler in the corner end zone was spot on, brother.
Yeah, and that's another name you keep hearing a lot, Jeremy Butler. Do you think that's a guy that's going to be able to make this roster? Because wide receiver is a very crowded position right now.
It is. We have a lot. I think he will. Due to the fact that, remember this, we're not going to have Dan Waller or Nick Boyle or tight ends. We're going to have somebody solidify his pass catching. So I think you're going to see the roster more so than not because of the tight end position being a little thin.
Yeah, and I want to stay on this game, but since you did bring up the tight end position, I am going to jump off a little bit here. Dennis Pitta got more bad news. I mean, we were concerned so much about his hips and what he was going to be able to do with those hips. Now, because of that fight he had with Kamalea Correa, he has a broken finger that they're saying potentially could end his career this point around because he might need to have a screw put into one of his fingers. John Harbaugh came out and said it was an injury that shouldn't have happened at all. It's a stupid injury. It wasn't necessary. But the tight end is looking thinner than ever now because Dennis Pitta, who was a question mark, instead of being, you know, solid for this team, is now an even bigger question mark, and it has nothing to do with his hips.
No, not at all. It's definitely just disappointing, to say the least. Don't want anything to happen as far as those type of injuries. I mean, they happen in football, but the nature of it, it just really sucks, man, to hear that. Because we are excited. I mean, going into he had a great mini camp, and we are excited to see him back on the field. He was providing some great plays. He was providing us a glimpse of what could come this year. Very disappointed to see this happening to him, and it just sucks, man. I mean, you know, apart from the Super Bowl year, it was a banner year for him. He had a great solid year. You know, he was due for a big contract, and just with the hips, and then now this weird injury that I can call it. It's just, man, I had high hopes, and it's just gone, man.
So who do we have at the tight end position? If Dennis Pitta potentially isn't going to be playing at all, if Nick Boyle's out for 10 games, Darren Waller's out for 4, the only name I really know of in the tight end position is Max Williams. Is there anybody else that has been a standout this preseason?
You can't forget our veteran Ben Watson. I mean,
that's
true. He's going to be a starter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can't forget about that. Crockett Gilmore is returned from injury, and he's resilient. So I think you're going to see Crockett, Max, and Ben Watson hold down the fort for the tight end position.
What about a guy like Michael Caponaro? We saw more of him in week 2. Do you see anything? Do you think he'll be able to make this roster? Is he going to be a guy we could focus on the next couple weeks?
I think so, man. Michael Caponaro, for sure, I think makes a roster. It's hard to say shoe-ins at this point, but I think overall, I think you're going to see him on the roster in solidifying spot. It even could be a kick returner / punt returner on that front, mm-hmm. because we're have a question mark there, too. And there was questions that, should we have a receiver doing that? I do not think so. I think one of our running backs who wouldn't make the team should make the team as a special teamer.
Oh, okay. So moving around positions a little bit.
You're going to have to because, who can you name right now that's going to kick, return, or punt, return the ball? I can't name one.
I know the big
name. We don't
name,
have a set.
Yeah, the big name coming from the offseason of the draft was the guy from Navy, right? Keenan Reynolds. He was supposed
Reynolds. To, yeah, he Reynolds, was his name's come up a lot. Man.
But he hasn't had a really good showing this training camp.
That, and there's the flip side. You just got my point there is he hasn't had a good training camp, so that's why I'm bringing up these other names. That's why I'm putting, maybe a Caponaro as a punt returner, maybe mm-hmm. a Dixon, maybe Taffaro if he comes out. So there's a lot of names you can put there. I think Dixon could bode well as a kick returner, punt returner, especially being a rookie to get his feet wet, and then depending on what happens with injury, just promote him up to on the running back depth chart. But it's going to be interesting to see how the final 53-man roster plays out. I mean, camp's already over, so we're winding down, going into preseason game number 3 this weekend. So we're halfway there, man.
Yep.
We're less than 3 weeks away from the regular season starting here. Actually, this week it's just coming together, man. This week, starts preseason week number 3. So we're really going to see the positions really dwindle down and see a good first look at this team. But it is great to see some players. Training camp, preseason goes by, regular season, we're always losing people and gaining players. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast in the NFL. But what happens this week? Happens to have a week of activations, but we lose one. Speaking of the injury front, we did confirm losing Matt Elam to an injury. But how about activating not only Suggs last week, but this week, Doomerville's back. And how about an appearance from Breshad Perryman, man?
That's right. Don't spook him or anything like that. You might scare him off that field again. I do want to bring up Matt Elam, though.
I'm holding our breath.
Yeah. That's what I tweeted you earlier and said, look, when Breshad Perryman is in pads, in a jersey, on game day, I'll believe he's playing at that point. But let's before we get into Breshad Perryman, let's talk about Matt Elam. It sucks for this guy. Man, I'm feeling it for him. He got hurt last year, missed the entire season. He comes out, has a pretty good showing in the second game. As I was listening, coming home from work, they were bringing up Matt Elam, that it kind of looks like losing that season kind of lit a fire underneath his butt, and he was really going for it this year. But then he gets hurt in the second game, and it looks like he might not be playing again this season. I feel for the guy.
you got to feel for these guys. I mean, Dennis Pitta goes down, Matt Elam. It's just these guys can't stay healthy, and Breshad Perryman we're holding our breath on. The fact remains is they stay. You got to stay healthy. I mean, I know it's a demanding game. It's a grind all year long. You know, it takes a toll on your bodies. And really not getting really into the nuances of how much money these guys make, but I've always said the justification on their paychecks. They put their bodies on the line for the sake of the job, their career. I mean, yeah, other people do too. You know, we got firefighters, policemen, and we know what they make. But we as podcasters and just, I mean, I go to the gym, of course, you know, 2-3 times a week, you know, but we can't understand the rigor that they put their bodies under. I mean, but and then the injuries. I mean, there comes a point to where the injuries you have to look at is in conditioning now. So you have to understand is what are they putting in their bodies? Is there, you really have to understand what goes into it. So there's a lot of things that we don't know about. There's nutrition, there's now regimen, there's off-season programs. So you have to look at the players get injured. We're not saying that they don't work out enough or they don't practice enough, but I mean, there could be so many injuries a person could sustain. I mean, I've seen players go through a whole career, 15, 20 years, and not get hurt. Then you see players that can't even step on the field in their rookie year. But it's just really sad to lose Elam, lose Pitta. But we gained a few players, and I've already said this once, I'm going to say it a few more times the remainder of this year. This is the if season. If everybody can come back healthy, I mean, we got Flacco coming back from injury, Steve Smith coming back from injury, Suggs injury. Seems like we should just get our degrees in medicine and just become like analysts in injuries and doctor reports, because it seems like the MO around here, man, this is ridiculous.
I know. I mean, so many injuries last year. It was unbelievable how many people got out. But it's good to see guys like Joe Flacco, Terrell Suggs, right. Elvis DumervilleWe've seen Steve Smith come out already onto the practice field. Breshad Perryman's back, which is good.
Right.
You know, this is the team that was supposed to be able to play last year, and things just kind of fell apart. It looks like the
team, it did, man.
And it looks like the team is getting back to normal. But we kind of have to hold our breath and let these guys slowly make their way through, because, like, Joe Flacco's coming back. We found out during game two he's making his official return for game three.
All the stars are returning for game number three, man. It's just going to be incredible to see a good first look at what we really might look like.
And, of course, we've talked about it before, how Joe and all the other guys have to kind of get over the mental game. I personally think the mental game is actually more important than the physical, because if you're scared of, like, planting your foot a certain way, if you're scared of being hit a certain way, that's going to affect your game completely. Forget about skills. I mean, that's going to be the biggest worry, at least for me coming back from, like, an injury, would be doing something that I was used to, knowing I could potentially hurt whatever was hurt before.
Yeah, it's that scare factor, and even Joe said he doesn't really think about it when he's out in the field. He just goes through his normal every emotions, and we're going to see that. I mean, a lot of people come back from injury, and they tend to favor that, but remember when Brady hurt his knee and tore it on that hit and got hurt in the first game of the year? He came back, and it's been fine, and who's to say that Tom Brady himself can't play another 5 or 6 years? I mean, we've seen, especially the quarterback position, where you know, even though they're under duress, they come back, especially with a pocket passer. You know, I mean, they're, other than Joe running around and escaping, you know, blitzers and linemen, it's going to be interesting to see how he comes off of that. But he even said it, he's not even thinking about it. It's in the back of his mind. And I mean, look at Ladarius Webb, both knees got jacked up, and he's out there playing. So I mean, with these guys, you know, one of my best friends, he tore his ACL playing softball, and you know, he just, you know, he's back at it, and he just says he doesn't think about it. Another best friend of mine tore his ACL, and you know, they recovered, and he just said they just don't think about it. They just go back to their daily activities, and that's what you kind of have to do. I mean, Brandon, I broke my ankle playing basketball, and I mean, I go out there, and I'm you know, duking it up with the rest of them. I don't even think about it to this day. I'm scared. I'm not like, oh, well, I should be careful. But no, just go out there and play. It's definitely something to see when Saturday night to see how it turns out.
Absolutely. And another thing that we got to really watch out for on Saturday, Harbaugh had a lot to say about this, that the defensive line was doing really poorly up against the Indianapolis Colts first line. You know, we had Brandon Williams in there, and he was being backed up by Timmy Jernigan, and there was absolutely no you know, no running game defense at all. They weren't able to get to the quarterback, giving Andrew Luck all kinds of time. What does this? What do you think they're going to be doing this week to get this defense better? Because it's one thing to have that happen, you know, with the third, fourth line guys out there, but to have your starters out there and playing that poorly in a preseason game, that's something you got to worry about.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you brought that up because Harbaugh was not pleased. I mean, his exact words were, "I'm pissed." I mean, we were letting 4 yards a carry average, and they were seething down the field, you know, tearing us apart from the pass and run. And that's the second week in a row that the first team defense let out, you know, a crazy drive all the way in the red zone. But they bend but not break mentality where they allowed a field goal. But again, yeah, you have about 90-95% of starters out there, but I mean, you don't have a Doom, you don't have a Suggs, you don't have everybody on deck, so that changes everything. I mean, you have one of your two best players. You know, two of your best players on defense going. But positives, I'm glad you brought that up because I touched on that. I tweeted that. I said even Harbaugh was like, I want a zero tolerance. You know, 1 to 2 yard average is okay. But, you know, if you get the 3 to 4 to 5 yard range, they're reeling off that. We're in trouble. It's got to get better. I mean, Harbaugh's echoed that. I'm going to echo it. You're going to echo it. We've got to get better. Pass defense, I've seen some good plays. I see some bad. But overall, it was great. But I want to bring up some news and notes here, and I wanted so I documented this watching the game, man. I don't know if you recognize, but you remember how Dean Pease was in the booth last year? Now he's on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Did you note that?
Yeah.
Did you see that at all?
I did see that. Okay. Yeah.
Harbaugh, you know, wanted a sense of continuity with the coaching staff. But here's the problem I've had with last year versus this year: you cannot coach effectively from a booth. You know, that pissed me off when Dean Pease was put up in a booth, and you wonder why we were bad on defense. You're supposed to be long on the field. You can't coach your players. You can't get in their faces. You can't connect with your players. If you're isolated in a booth, how about if John Harbaugh or Bill Belichick or some of the greatest coaches of this era just decided, hey, I'm just going to chill in a booth. I think this is going to be a positive movement. I think you're going to see a difference this year in the defense because of that move. It's a small move, but I applaud it, and I wanted to take note of that I've noticed that, and that's the way it should be all throughout the whole league. But I'm just happy it's happening on our team.
Yeah, that's something that I think Dean Pease, what he said was that he's never worked with like so many rookies before. So that is why he kind of came out of the booth and was able to be on the field. He wanted to get up close and personal with his players and be able to tell them what's going on and how to fix things and how to do things correctly. Like you said, though, Harbaugh was not happy, and he's pretty much put out a threat to this team saying, you're not going to make this team if you're getting stupid penalties. That was a big problem last year for the Ravens. I think they were ranked 6 in penalties, and they were just giving away yardage in this last game, on game 2. I mean, so many. Even like your boys, our Darius Smith, he gave up a couple yards. I think because of a penalty on him, he gave up and was able to give the Colts a first down. Biggest thing is that, you know, don't be a salesman in this league. You cannot just give away yards. That is something that Harbaugh absolutely hates. As a fan, I hate to see it because it shows like you're putting all this effort into it, all this hard work, but then you're just giving freebie yards away. That's not good.
Nope. And he touched on that this week, too, and the pressers were stupid penalties. It's how many times we're giving away free yards on stupid holdings. Now, at the end of the game, people are arguing whether it was on purpose, whether it was on purpose or whether it was not. But the holding call at the end, I think it was on purpose, and not to really break it down and go into, you know, minutes of details on why. But I think it is because they only had 5 seconds left at the end of the game. Now, apart from the offsides, that allowed them to try to kick the attempt for the field goal. Granted, it was way short, and we won the game. But you got to cut down these 2 penalties. Line up off sides, it's easy. Line up on the right side of the ball. And wait till the ball snaps. How hard is that? I mean, yeah, you can coach it. It's hard, easier said than done because we're not NFL linemen. We're not on the line. But it's not. If you told me, okay, all you got to do is line up on the right side of the ball, that's not hard. I mean, I just don't get the concept of these NFL players get paid millions of dollars and they can't line up on the right side of the ball. How many times does that hurt us? It gives them a free play, especially if it's a 3rd and 4 and they throw an incomplete pass and they can just start the word, oh, we just got a first down on the other team's accord. And how many times does that hurt us where it leads to the other team hitting 3 points or 7? And it's just atrocious, man. It's got to stop. But overall, I'm really hoping to see a sharpening up on this preseason game coming up, man, because this is it. I mean, we're going to be down there. It's the final home game before the real deal in 2 weeks. And What I really want to see is breaking down what we want to see in preseason three. You're going to see a lot of stars. You're going to see Wallace, T. Smith, Aiken's going to be on field. Flacco's going to be in the field for set. You're going to see Doom. You're going to see Suggs. You're going to see all these guys. And it's going to be exciting. And we do welcome back Anquan Boldin from the Detroit Lions and June Caldwell. So we have some pieces left over from the 2012 Super Bowl team coming back to Baltimore in a preseason game. So that'll be fun. It'll be fun to see. I'm sure pleasantries will be exchanged. And some great memories are made here with those two fellas. And some success.
Yeah, is Haloti still with the Detroit Lions as well?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he is because I haven't heard of him retiring. But that's a great point. And I hate to say that I don't know. I really don't because, you know, obviously, you know, I'm invested 100,000% in the Baltimore Ravens team. But you're right. I think I should look into that. But he might be. I don't think he was released or I haven't heard he signed anywhere retired. But he may well still be on that roster. So, again, yeah, you're right. Haloti not as another one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see those guys back. I was a little upset that we didn't get Anquan Boldin back when he was up on the free agency market because him and Flacco right. just work so well together. But I know he's like an aging guy, and there's a reason we let him go in the first place. But, I mean, it would have been nice to see Boldin back. But we'll see him. We'll see Haloti. We'll see how they look in blue when the Lions come to town. It should be a good game. Like you said, lots of starters, man. Lots of starters. I think this is really going to be the it'll really show you like how these guys are working together. Like Joe, this will be Joe's first time on the field. He's got a lot of new tools. I want to see how he does with Ronnie Stanley protecting him. How much time does Ronnie Stanley give Joe Flacco? I want to see what he does with Wallace. I want to see what he can do with Kamar Aiken. I want to see. I don't think Perryman is going to be playing. I think he's waiting till week one. But, I mean, with Perryman just being such a big question mark, I want to see what Joe can do with all these other guys just in case Perryman's not ready.
Absolutely, man. It's going to be really great to see the final dress rehearsal before September 11th and the real deal. I mean, this is what you get. I mean, if we get a sharp showing, we're going to be honing in on, you know, what was well, what was done well, what was not, because this is it. We're going to get a chance to break it all down because what we see is going to be a real taste to see what's going to be unleashed on September 11th when the Bills come down, and we're going to start counting these things for real, man.
And for the fans out there that are maybe kind of new to football, a lot of us know this already, but how many quarters do you think the starters will be playing? This is usually the game that they play the most in, correct?
I think they're going to go at least the whole first half with both first teams. You might even see it trickle to the third quarter depending on the health of the team. And it was said that Flacco doesn't really need the practice because he had a strong camp. We already knew his knee's fine. He was throwing passes. We've seen the footage on tape. The fact of the matter is we need him in live game action, other teams chasing after him, real game situation, and get him back on the grass, on the field, to see what it's really all about. But I think you're really going to see at least the full half.
This will be his first time with the real grass, playing with the real grass. I'd like to see how that affects his game.
Absolutely. Well, other than the practice, I was at the stadium practice. That was kind of the real feel. But it is what it wasn't because, of course, he had the right jersey on. He wasn't being, you know, pursued in live game action. You know, I mean, you know, when the pass rusher comes in, you just got to stop. But, I mean, you know, he had a few plays where Correa was on him and so was Weddle on a blitz. But it's really hard to determine, but he looked fine with the footage I saw. And, I mean, you were there with me. So apart from, you know, seeing him on the grass, you're really going to get a chance to see what it's all about.
All right, man. So that I think that's pretty much it for the show. Have we covered everything?
Covered this one to the max, my friend.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about this podcast, all the other stuff we do at Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. That's where we post them. Again, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return for all this free content, getting you ready for these preseason games, getting you ready for the regular season, all we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Be proud that you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social with your phone, on the web, whatever. Let people know. Be proud of it. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
You got it, my friend. Brandon, thank you so much once again. Guys, this has been so far so much fun in the preseason, breaking down jobs on the line. Camp's already over, which is exciting. We're going to see a live dress rehearsal this week. Lions coming to town, man. It's going to be great welcoming the old faces in from the Super Bowl era. But I can't wait to be down at the bank under the lights on Saturday night. It's going to be great. So Saturday night football here in Baltimore, late August, moving into September. And here we go, guys. Buckle up. We're getting ready for the season. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.